Well, hello again, my brothers and sisters. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. And I welcome you to this program today. And today we're going to be going back into our study of the return of Jesus Christ, the present study that we're in. And to recap just a little bit, going back for our last program, we began to talk about the revelation of Jesus Christ, which we're going to go into today. But the thing that we was talking about was the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in two stages. That there's two events that are involved, just like two events were involved in his first coming, his birth and his ascension. There's going to be two events that are going to happen during his second coming that's involved with his second coming. The two events in the first, like we talked about, was him being born and the cross, going to the cross and then ascending. Okay, and the second coming is going to consist of two events also. One of them we talked about the last recording, which was the rapture of the saints. Now, the word rapture, remember, is not in the scriptures, and that's what we're interested in finding out is what saith the Lord? What does the Bible say? Okay, we can make up all the things that we want to make up in our mind and in our imaginations and say what we think and what everybody else thinks, but that's not what we're studying. We're studying what does the Bible say, and that's what we're going to believe is what the Bible says, because God has written his mind in a book, literally, and we have it present with us literally in copies. Everybody that's listening to this and everybody that's not listening to this that owns a Bible, when I say Bible, I'm talking about a King James Bible, that owns one, has a copy. Nobody has any originals anywhere. There ain't been no originals since the second century or around the third century. There's not been any originals at all. Them things rotted and faded away. They've got some pieces and this, that, and the other, and all this and blabbity blabbity blab blab blab. And God's not interested in all that. God's interested in what we can read and understand, and not having to figure things out and all that. The Lord didn't do that to us. The Lord gave us His Word. And it liveth and abideth forever. And he's been preserving it through copies all the way down through history and got it in English now. And we are English-speaking people, so we can understand it. If you remember back, the Lord is the one that created all the languages. Remember? The Lord speaks every language fluently. He knows every language and every dialect. He knows it all. And he knows how to get his word to people. The Spanish people, they can't read English. They got to have it in Spanish. But his word is preserved, and it's inerrant, and it's perfect, like he said, in Spanish. And it's a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. But it is alive, the true living words of God. And that's what we believe. Now, we got a Bible that's in English, and it is preserved. And we believe it to be the very words of God written in the Word of God. Okay? Now, what we're talking about is that we want to know what the Bible says about the return of Jesus Christ. And today we're going to go in and we're going to, just to recap, like I said about 5 minutes ago, the rapture of the saints, remember? And what did we talk about when we talked about the rapture of the saints? We talked about that it was going to be an instantaneous event. The Bible says in the twinkling of an eye, not the blinking or the winking, but the twinkling. And that's, there is a timetable, and I didn't even think about getting it. I've got it to where they've got the numbers and all that and the other, but and it's something to know, and I'll get it for you, but there is a timetable how long it takes. I don't know how they done this. They must have done it in private so nobody would see them. I don't know, but they done a winking and timed it, and then they done a blinking and timed it, and then I guess they done a a twinking and timed it. And there's no way to get it in your head and put it to rest about what a twinkling is. It's so fast. You figure that the Lord Jesus Christ, he don't have any problem with time and limitations and travel. Remember when he ascended, the time of his ascension, when he resurrected, there wasn't but about. He resurrected, there wasn't but about 6 hours, or maybe even less than that, that was involved after he resurrected, that he went all the way to heaven, where his Father is, and then turned around and come all the way back, and was able to start talking and seeing Mary in the garden. And from then on, he spent, you know, about around 40 days or so showing himself to everybody that he wanted to show himself to, and then ascended back to the Father in that amount of time. Now, you're talking about 40 days and two trips to his Heavenly Father and one trip back. Now, that's pretty fast. That's pretty fast. So, see, the Lord doesn't think, and eternity is not like the limitations that we have in our thinking. And you got to keep that in mind. The rapture is an instantaneous event. The Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, that's how much time it takes for light to bounce off of your eyeball. That's the way I heard it. Okay? Could be different. And all you ones that are smarter than me, if it's different, just tell me and I'll start saying what the right thing is. But that's what I heard, and that's what the timing and the numbers and all that were explaining it to me when I was studying it. Okay, but it really is not a doctrine to me. It don't make a difference if it's a twinking or a winking or a blinking. It's fast. Okay, the rapture concerns only deceased Christians. Remember, we asked that whether that was true or false, and that's not true, because even the people that die that are born again in the Lord, the Bible talks about that they sleep, that they sleep. Now, I don't understand what all that sleep means, because the Bible says to be absent from the Lord. One thing I do know is that it's not the sleep that some of these cults talk about, that you go in the grave and you go to sleep and this, that, and the other. That's not. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when you die, your soul leaves your body and it goes to be with the Lord. Your body goes back to the dust. Now, somewhere in there, that sleep, I suppose, is what the Lord's talking about, is that even though your body rots and the worms get it and all that and the other, it still sleeps until the Lord resurrects it and gives us, fashions it like unto the Lord Jesus Christ's body and gives it back to us. So in a perfect state, in a celestial state. But anyway, no, the rapture doesn't only concern the people that are alive. The Bible says that the people that are asleep are going to be resurrected, and we're going to leave the earth, the ones that remain and are alive, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air, the Bible says. Now, at the rapture, the Lord sends his angels to gather the saints. Remember we talked about that? No, that's not true at this event. The rapture of the saints, the Lord does not come down here, and there are no angels in this event. The Lord himself comes, is going to descend from heaven, remember? And we're going to be caught up to him. And now there is an event in the Bible, but it's later on, after all this is over with, that the angels are going to come down, and they're going to come down and gather up some saints. But that's tribulation saints, okay? All right, now at the rapture, believers, the saints, will be caught up into the air to meet Christ. That's true. At the rapture, all Christians, living and dead, will receive a glorified resurrection body. That's absolutely true. The Bible says so. Okay, and you have the scriptures on that. I hope you went over those scriptures, and I hope you're doing that, because, listen, everything that we're studying is having to do with God's Word. once you start studying God's Word and God the Holy Ghost starts bearing witness of His Word in your mind and in your heart, you're going to fall in love with God's Word if you're not already. And you're not going to be able to do without it because it is our comfort. It is the thing that the Lord has given us here besides the indwelling of God the Holy Ghost. But He bears witness to the Word of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and what is Jesus? Jesus Christ is the Word. Is the Word of God. Okay, and one other thing, in Matthew 24:42, the rapture will be announced to give us time to get ready. Now, we know better than that, don't we? It's not going to be announced. The Bible says, knowing this, this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. And some of these things I'm about to read to you, you ought to know whether we're in the last days or not. Jesus said Himself that you can discern the face of the sky, but you can't tell the signs of the times. Yes, we can. We can tell what time it is by the events that are going on, even if the dummies in this world deny it. And the foolish people in this world, they deny everything, and people love living in deceit. But that shouldn't be Christians. Christians ought to walk by faith, and they ought to live in truth. Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world was then, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, you think of all the people that are already in hell this very second. They're going to be there forever, except for one time they're going to come out. And that's at the white throne judgment, and that's not to be judged. They're already judged. That's to be evaluated before the Lord about how severe their punishment's going to be when they throw them in the lake of fire. It's not a judgment at the white throne. It's a sentencing. See, but they're coming out of hell and they're going to go to the white throne. Then they're going to go into the lake of fire, and then eventually hell's going to be cast into the lake of fire. So, but we said all that to say this, is that the rapture is going to be announced to give us time to get ready. Absolutely not. The rapture's already been announced. We just read it, and we just went over it. And the thing about it is we as Christians, we should love the Lord and serve Him because we get to, not because we have to. As much as He's done for us, we ought to be living for Him and serving Him until the end, and until we see Him face to face. And it shouldn't surprise us, and we'd be embarrassed when He comes to get us. He shouldn't have to pick us up off no bar stool and us be going up to meet Him in the air. He shouldn't be gathering up His saints out of fornicating beds and adulterous beds to be raptured up to go be with Him. He shouldn't be taking people out of gangs and shooting up heroin and all these different kinds of things and sins that men get involved in, even when they're saved, and rapture them up out of that kind of mess, and you be embarrassed when you meet your Lord that you love. That shouldn't be the case. We ought to be serving the Lord. Now, the next thing, that the second half, or not the second half, but the second event to be involved in the second coming of the Lord is called the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's not like, anything that's like the first event or the first phase of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture. This is going to be an actual advent. He's going to come back. He's going to come back publicly. Every eye is going to see him. He's going to be coming, and the clouds are going to roll back, the Bible says, and that he's going to come, and guess who's going to be with him? All of us. We're going to be with him. There's going to be about 7 years that are going to pass between the rapture and the revelation of Jesus Christ. From the time that he takes us out of here, we're going to spend 7 years up in heaven with him, according to the scriptures. Okay, and that's written in the timetables prophesied in Daniel and other places, and we'll get into all that in a little while or another recording. I think it's part of this study, but it's not anything that's so difficult that you can't understand. The Lord give us a little timetable. Daniel asked the Lord what was going to happen to Israel, and the Lord answered him, and in his answer that he gave him, the angel told him that this timetable was going to be going on, 69 weeks and so on and so forth. But we'll get into all that. But there's going to be 7 years. That's 1 week, the Bible talks about, 7 years. Okay, now 1 week to us is 7 days, but in the scriptures it's 7 years. Okay, and it talks about 1 week, that this is going to be the week of the tribulation. It's going to be the tribulation period. This is going to begin after the first phase, the rapture of the saints. When we leave, this thing's going to begin. Okay? And it's going to go along there about 7 years, and we're going to be up there with the Lord, and there's going to be several things that are going to happen. Well, you say, well, what are we going to do? We're just going to sit around and wait for the Lord 7 years to come back so we can come with him? No, we're going to be busy up there. There's some events that are going to happen in heaven that we're going to participate in and be part of, and we're going to be busy. You're not going to have any downtime up there, guarantee you. If anything, you're going to be praising for 7 years and jumping and hopping and skipping and just glorifying the Lord. But there are some specific things that are going to be happening in heaven during that 7 years. But down here on earth is a completely different scenario. There'll be 7 years down here on earth, but it's going to mostly be the subject of what's going on with Israel. And it's called the Daniel's 70th week. We'll get into that. But the revelation of Jesus Christ is after these events in heaven, after we're up there with the Lord, and these events, and we'll go over them right after we finish this section right here. We're going into what's going, the events between the rapture and the revelation, and what's going to happen up in heaven, what's going to happen down there. But right now, the revelation of Jesus Christ. After the 7 years, the Lord is going to publicly, now privately, was the rapture. Nobody's going to know what happened, just everybody's going to disappear. And they're not going to believe that the Lord came back and that the Lord raptured. They're going to come up, the Antichrist is going to come up with all kinds of different stuff, and he's going to deceive the entire world. The Lord says that he's going to deceive the entire world that's left behind. And that everybody that's saved is gone. There are no saved people on the planet whenever the rapture happens. Okay? There will be people saved during the tribulation, but not at that time whenever we're raptured out of here and the Lord catches us away. All the saved people are gone. All the church is gone. The bride of Christ is gone. God the Holy Ghost is gone because he dwells in us. And everything on the earth goes back to the Old Testament days. God's word, the law. It's not grace anymore, it's the law. Okay, but that's in a future study also. But this is kind of helping us out. But after we get up to heaven, we're going to go through these events about 7 years, 7 year time period up there, and the Lord's going to say, okay, it's time to let's go take care of business. So everybody get on your horses and let's get ready. And the Lord is going to have a vesture on that's dipped in blood. It's going to say King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to have his crowns on. He's going to be riding on a white horse. And he's going to order heaven to open up, and every eye on this earth is going to see him. And he's going to come in the cloud. He's going to come, and the heavens are going to roll back, and we're going to be on horses behind him, and we're coming, and the Lord is coming to make war. The Bible does not say he's going to come down here and see if they want to challenge him. It says that he's going to come down here for the purpose of destroying everybody that's attacking Israel at that time. The devil's going to have everybody gang up on Israel right at the end of the 7 years, and the Lord's going to come back right in that timetable, and he's going to come back, and he's going to save Israel and defend them. And that's what you've heard about the Armageddon, the valley. The Armageddon there, that's where it's going to take place, and the blood is going to flow to the horse's bridle, the Bible says. That's a lot of blood. But the Lord's not coming back to talk things over and have a convention and have a board meeting and blabbity, blabbity, blah, blah, blah. He's not coming back as the lamb that can be pushed around and slapped and mocked and spit on and beard pulled out and whipped with cat of nine tails and all this kind of garbage. He's coming back, and he's going to make war, and he's going to destroy them with the sword of his mouth, and he's not going to pity. And we're not going to feel sorry for them either, because they are God-rejecting, Jesus Christ, grace-rejecting heathens. They hate God, and they hate everything he stands for. And they're going to gang up on Israel this time, and they're going to try to destroy Israel. And the Lord's going to come back and defend them. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And this, at this time, is going to be when the Jews turn and the Lord opens their eyes and they turn to the Lord Jesus and they recognize him and see who he is and they accept him as their Messiah. And this will be the time that the Lord is accepted as Messiah. He will come down. He will touch the earth. He's going to battle there. He's going to destroy this is going to be millions and millions and millions of soldiers that was going up to eliminate Israel. And the Lord's going to come down and destroy every one of them. There will be people that are left on the earth that are going to go into the millennium. And there will be unsaved people that are going to go into the millennium. And the Lord, after that, there's going to be cleanup time. And after that, the Lord wipes them out, and we help him. And there'll be cleanup time, and then the Lord's going to set up the millennium for 1,000 years on this earth, and we're going to talk about that. But the revelation of Jesus Christ is the second phase of the return of Jesus Christ. The first one was the rapture. The second phase of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the second coming, is the revelation. Okay? Now, let's read some scripture and talk about this revelation. I know I gave you a long introduction in that, but it'll kind of help you. You probably know more than I know about it anyway, but it kind of just clarifies and just sets a setting up for us. And we got kind of a timetable in our minds now. And one of these next recordings, I'm going to give you I'm going to have you draw out a map, kind of. And make sure you got some pencil and paper, because I'm going to have you draw out a map and give you kind of a visual thing that you'll have there, and if I can give you instructions good enough to draw it, but just show you how these things are going to take place. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11 through 16, listen to this. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now, we know who that is, don't we? Now, don't let that deceive you, because there are two different instances with people that are, with persons that are riding white horses. There's another instance in the scripture of somebody riding a white horse, and it is not Jesus Christ. This one here is Jesus Christ. The other one is the evil one. Okay? But we'll get into that and talk about that some other time. But you notice that all the description of what the Bible's teaching us right here in Revelation 19 is evidence that it's the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the Word of God. He's the one clothed in the vesture dipped in blood, and He's the one that has the eyes of a flame of fire, and His name, He's called faithful and true, and in righteousness judgeth and make war. Now listen to this. And the armies which were in heaven, that's us, followed Him upon white horses clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations. And He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Of course, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are several things in this scripture that we just got through reading that the Lord is called. In verse 11, we find that He was called what? He was called faithful and true. Aren't you glad our Lord is like that? That He is faithful? If you've lived any amount of time for the Lord Jesus Christ and been sincere about it, as best as you know how, you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful. And you know that He is true, that He is the truth. You know, as long as I've ever known the Lord, I've never known Him to say anything false or say anything that would even lead me to think of Him as lying or being false. Have you? No. He is faithful and true. Faithful and true. Another thing that He's called, and is in verse 13 there that we read, is the Word of God. Now, before Jesus came, according to John, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So before Jesus came and was incarnated into a human body, God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ was named Jesus. That's the name of Him as a man. That's a man's name. When Jesus was born of Mary, and when He came out of her womb, He was born in a human body, just like us. And it was God in the flesh, and they named Him Jesus. He grew up, and He went to the cross, and then ascended, and still has a body. That person's name is Jesus Christ. It was a man. God in a man's body. Jesus Christ. Okay, but before that, before He incarnated and became Jesus Christ, His name was named the man, Jesus Christ the man. He was the Word of God. The Bible said He was. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see? Isn't that good? So we see another name here, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called faithful and true. He's called the Word of God in this part of Scripture that we read. And He's also called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus, all through the Lord, all through the Old Testament, told them Jews and told anybody else that there was no Lord beside Him. When Moses asked Him to go, what should I tell Pharaoh who sent me? He said, I am that I am. He's called Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The Lord lives in eternity. He is not in no timetable. He don't know anything about, or he knows about time. He's the one that created it. But the Lord doesn't think like we do. The Lord thinks like an eternal God that's never had a beginning. And he's never going to have an end. That's how that's how the Lord's mind is. Now, we have a pretty hard time. We can, you can paint a picture of it, but you can't explain it, and you can't settle it. It's just not something that we know about yet. Okay? But he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And the Lord said, beside him, there is none other. Men worship him stinking trees, and he said, you cut down a tree, and you cut up some firewood, and you cook your food with it, and you eat your food, and then with the other half of the tree, you carve it into some kind of stupid-looking idol, and you bow down and worship it. What are you, ignorant? And he mocks them in the Old Testament. This is the same Lord. This is the same God. The same God. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. The Father said he turned all authority over to the Son. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ coming, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation simply means something that has been hidden that is now revealed. And that's what the Lord's doing when he comes. He's revealing himself visually, openly, publicly, and making sure that every eye shall see him. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, according to Revelation chapter 19 and Jude, verse 14 and 15, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return with what and with whom? Well, let's read it and see. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 14, the Bible says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's us. That's the church. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I've read also, but it's the church, it's us, the body of Christ, the bride, is going to be following him on white horses. But I know that there's some others that are involved. I think the Old Testament saints, if I'm not mistaken, the ones that were taken out of Abraham's bosom. Now, I don't want to get too far into this and trying to figure out, I don't want to embarrass myself, but there's going to be others besides us. It said the armies, plural, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. It doesn't matter who it is. They're coming from heaven with their Lord and glad to do it and going to come down here and fight with the Lord and get rid of all the haters of God. I hope you ain't a hater of God. If you hadn't been born again, you better get born again, because this stuff is real and the Lord is real and the scriptures are real and they are true. And this thing that we're reading right now is going to happen. And just because it hasn't happened, don't mean diddly squat. The Lord has given us 2,000 years, or thereabout, of warning. That Bible has warned everybody and told everybody the truth all the way down through history, all the way up to us right now. And if it's next year the Lord comes and raptures us out of here, then 7 years later, woe unto this earth. If it's 100 years, it don't matter. It's still going to happen. This Bible does not know time. It's eternal. The Bible says it liveth and abideth forever. And he's talking about the Word of God. God's Word is eternal because it's been spoken by an eternal God. Did you get that? Now, anything that's written by anybody else other than God is temporal. It's not going to last. That's why there's been over 200 versions that have spawned off of the King James Bible. Now, I'm not going to get deep into that, but there you go. Okay? They come and go. one of them comes, and the most they last is what? 10 years? 15 years? Until they sell as many as they can, and then they got to change it. Cause everybody buys something new. The new. The Lord said for us not to go after new stuff. He said to stay on the old path. And we have it right here with us, and we're reading it. Revelation chapter 19, verse 14, the armies are coming, okay? And it also says in Jude, verse 14 and 15, listen to this. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all. Nobody's going to be left out. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You see, that's why you ain't got to worry about everything that somebody says about your Lord or be ashamed of it or worry about it because it's being recorded. The Lord's, just like we're recording this right now, and you're listening to it. The Bible says every man is going to give account of every word that proceedeth out of his mouth. Not only us, but especially the ungodly. They're going to give account of everything that they've said and everything that they've done, and especially what they've said against the Lord personally. Now, Jude wrote that down, and Enoch prophesied it and said that the Lord's coming. And he's coming with 10,000s of saints. He's coming to execute judgment, and he's coming to convince. There won't be any doubts when he's done of who he is. There ain't no doubts to us already, is there? I don't doubt him, and I don't doubt his word, do you? I know he is. He has witnessed in my heart and in my life and been very kind to me. Hasn't he, you? Of course he has. What else about the revelation of Jesus Christ? We talked about his names and what he's called. We're talking about, now we're not, like I said, this is the ABCs, and there's a lot that we can talk about, but we're going to keep it to ABCs, and we'll ease on through it, and you'll have an outline in your mind and in your heart about the events and the things that are going to happen. Okay, we talked about that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to return with the saints, 10,000s, plural. Okay, and in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1 through 4, listen to this. Behold, the day of the Lord. Now, that's what this is called. The revelation of Jesus Christ is also called, entitled several different ways in the scriptures. It's called the day of the Lord is one of the big ones that is spoken in many different places in the scriptures, especially the Old Testament. Zechariah 14, 1 through 4 says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Now, this is 2020, and you got the United Nations over there, and the Lord is putting everything together, and you can watch this thing happen. And it is happening, that the Lord is gathering all up. He's putting it all in order to where all these nations are going to come together, and then they're going to all turn toward Israel. And they're going to think that they're going to wipe that Israel off the map, but they got a surprise coming. And they have it right here to read in front of them, but they won't read it, and they won't believe it, and they're going to do it anyway, because the Lord spoke it, and he said that he's doing this. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Now remember we talked about there being an advent. That is actually what an advent is when the Lord's feet touch the earth. So this is definitely an advent, the second advent that we're talking about, the revelation. Okay, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. So we see that when the Lord does come, he's going to come down. He's going to touch this earth. He's going to stand there. And where he's standing, the earth's going to split. And when the Lord returns, he's going to set his feet down where? He's going to set them down on the Mount of Olives. Okay, now there is a path that can be traced in the scriptures with several different scriptures, and we might talk about that sometime, but there is in the scriptures that you can trace several different scriptures that you can see the Lord's going to come, and he's going to come down in a certain place. He's going to travel through the King's Highway, and he's going to go into the East Gate of Jerusalem, and you can see all that. The path that the Lord's going to take, if you read it and believe it. Okay, but so we see that the Lord's going to put his feet down on the Mount of Olives. We see that the Lord is called faithful and true, the Word of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he's coming to make war. He's coming with 10,000s of his saints. He's coming with the armies of heaven, the Bible says. Armies are not to come and be lovey-dovey. They're coming to fight and to make war. And all these passive, don't call him a sinner. Just talk about his sin. I mean, it's just his sin. It's not the sinner. Well, the Lord's not coming down here, and you don't get blood out of sin. You get blood out of sinners. He don't put sin in hell. He puts sinners in hell. He don't cast sin in the lake of fire. He casts sinners in the lake of fire. Okay? Now, just put all that stupid, idiotic stuff out of your mind that you've been told or taught or whatever about how that the Lord is lovey-dovey. You know, if you really know Jesus Christ, you'd be scared of him. And you would fear him. Because he ain't nobody to be played with. He said he's going to do these things, and he's going to do them. And you being his brother or sister, and your heavenly father is his heavenly father, and God the Holy Ghost being in you and teaching you and correcting you, you should know the severity of the Lord, and you should fear him because of just being his son and the way that the Lord is and the way he thinks and what he puts up with and what he does not put up with. You should know some of them things. And if you don't, you will. Because the Lord says he chastens every son. And if you be without chastening, you're a bastard. You don't belong to him. So expect it. Because he's going to correct you. He ain't going to let you run around and embarrass him and make bad of his name on this earth. Because he don't want you to be condemned with the people on this earth that are going to be condemned. And we shouldn't want to anyway, should we? We ought to be wanting to give our Lord glory with our lives rather than embarrassing him. And I've done that several times, embarrassed myself, that is, and put his name in bad situation. But he glorified himself and pulled my pants down in front of everybody. He's not going to be shamed because of your behavior. You will. But there's no need in it. It's not necessary. Because you love the Lord, serve him. He's worthy. And you ain't never going to... You're going to serve somebody. And if you're saved, serve your God. Because you ain't never gonna have a God that's gonna treat you better than the Lord does. The Lord is very kind and compassionate, and His yoke is light. His burden is light, and His yoke is easy, just like He said. It's definitely a yoke, and it's definitely a burden, but it's because the Lord Jesus Christ went through all that, and He didn't deserve it, and He didn't have to. So we shouldn't complain either. We ought to get busy for the Lord and do something for Him. No matter what it is, as long as it's in your heart and you're doing it for Him, who cares? As far as what people say and blabbity blabbity, people are so stupid sometimes, ain't they? Stop listening to fools and get busy for your Lord. The revelation of Jesus Christ, He's coming. He's coming. And it ain't far off, folks. I know this has been said since the 1900s and Billy Sunday and all of them and during the Reformation and when everybody was serving the Lord in the Philadelphia era. And the Word of God was precious in those days. But nowadays, people could care less about the Word of God. And they could care less about Jesus Christ and about God and anything having to do with Him. They're moving completely away from the Lord, and that's the way it's going. But that doesn't change what the Bible says and what's going to happen. That don't change a bit of it. And it shouldn't change you. You ain't got nothing to be scared of. The Bible says, I am He that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die? And the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass. And that's what He's going to do with this revelation. He's coming back, and He's going to kill a whole bunch of folks. And they're going to go to hell. And it ain't going to be by His choice, because the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But He ain't going to force nobody to love Him. He wants to be loved just like you do, because you're sincere about it and you mean it and you do love Him. Do you love the Lord? I tell you right now, I love Him. And I know who I'm talking about when I say that in my heart. Don't you? Now that's good stuff, ain't it? One last thing, and we're talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen, He's coming, and that's the main event of the Scriptures. Anything that's talked about in the Old Testament and the New Testament, any prophecies in the Old Testament and New Testament, the majority of everything that's being spoken about in the Scriptures that wants you to know is this event right here. The Bible talks more about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and mentions it in open ways and not so open ways. I mean, sometimes you have to dig to see it. But it's there, and it's there more than anything else in the Scripture, any topic in the Bible, more than salvation, more than baptism, more than obedience, more than Jesus' birth, more than Jesus' death, more than the resurrection, the second coming. And that's what Christians ought to be concerned about right now. You shouldn't be setting up no garbage on this earth. No temporal stupid stuff, or putting your trust in some stupid bank account that you can't control and they can take from you in any second. You ought to know that from all the depressions and the things that's happened in the past and the recessions and blabbity blab and all the money you lose or has lost already. It ain't yours. It's just a possession. You notice the Lord never says that we own anything until we get to heaven. The Bible always refers to anything that the Lord gives us or that we have as possessions. You possess it. You don't own it. There's a difference. If you own it, it can't be taken from you. You possess it. And all these possessions that you have, they're going to burn. And your money ain't going to mean nothing. And all these valuable things that you love so much, put them down on the place in your heart where they're supposed to be. And get the Lord back up top. One other thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, listen to this. In verse 7 through 10 it says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." See there? I knew there was some other ones in the scriptures, but there, the angels are coming too. "And flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, that don't sound like the timid little humble Jesus with a little dot of blood on his left hand, on the right hand, and one on his foot, and a little drop of blood falling off the crown up there on his forehead, and got a hairdo, looks like he just come out of the beauty parlor, and real effeminate, light skin looking Jesus. This ain't that Jesus. There's all kind of Jesuses in the world, but it ain't this Jesus. This one here is coming in flaming fire. The Bible talks about in the Old Testament that when the Lord walks, that there's a fire that goes out before him and devours. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them. Vengeance. The Bible says, for us not to, what is it? Now I'm going to show you how. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. In other words, don't go pay people back. I can't remember the scripture right now, but when it comes to me, I'll say it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And the Lord tells us not to go and try to pay back anybody, but let him do it. This is the time. Listen to this. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." They're not saved. They don't want nothing to do with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Forget him. Jesus who? This is these kind of people. "Who shall be punished..." Not fined and let go home and tickled and maybe a slap on the wrist or something. This is punishment. Punished. "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." The revelation of Jesus Christ. He's coming. We can honestly and scripturally say that it's 7 years off, but if I were you, I wouldn't think that was a whole lot of time to get all your little... so-called valuable things that you want to get done before the Lord comes and stuff like that. You need to change your mind and put the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they'd done a poll back. I don't remember how many people. I got it written down somewhere, but I just remember what it was about. They'd done a poll with a certain amount of people and just people that were walking around and asked if they could invite somebody important to their house for dinner, who would it be? Well, some of them said Elvis Presley, some of them said Eisenhower, and you know, they went from the top 10 or top 20 or whatever, and you know, Eisenhower and Kennedy and Elvis Presley and all these people and stuff like that. And you know, Jesus Christ brought in a fascinating number 11. Yep, put Jesus Christ on number 11 of who'd invite over for dinner. Well, he's coming at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The second coming, it involves two events. You remember what the first one was? It's the rapture of the saints, yes. Okay, and the second, which is 7 years later, or thereabout, according to the Lord's timetable, But according to the scripture, that's what we have to go on. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The first part of it is private. He's coming to get us and us alone, the bride of Christ. Okay? The second part of it is public all around the world. Every eye is going to see him. And he's not coming for peace. He's not coming as a lamb. He's not coming to be pushed around. He's coming as a lion. He's coming to make war. And he's coming to destroy and kill. Does that sound like your little precious little Jesus that the world pushes around? A little lovey-dovey Jesus that loves everybody and wouldn't hurt a flea? That's not the Jesus of the Bible. And even when you're reading about the Gospels, the Lord said, "To take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." And he is. But that didn't mean he was a sissy. You see the way the Lord Jesus stood up to all them people and how he talked to them? Why, that would be hate speech nowadays. It put him in jail. Well, you hypocrites, you vipers, you whited sepulchers. He's talking to the top religious folks. Well, they call that hate speech now. And call him a racist. Yep. No, that ain't the Jesus of the Bible. You better get to know him. Because the Jesus of the Bible is a man. Do you get that? He's a man. He's not a sissy. And when he comes back on that horse, he's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God in the flesh, and a glorified flesh. And he's coming back to show you what he's made of and who he really is. So when you read that Bible and you read about the Lord, believe it. And don't listen to all the stupid, ignorant lies and deceit of even Christians that talk about who Jesus is and what Jesus is like. Listen to that book. And listen to what God the Holy Ghost teaches you. Because the Bible says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And it also said that men's going to be lovers of their own selves. It's not just talking about the unsaved. It's talking about some saved people too. Christians that abandon the faith. They're called apostates. They abandon what they used to believe for other things, like Demas did. So just don't let that be you. Amen? Good day. Good recording. Good study. So the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we took a little bit of time to try to understand this and to see what's going on, but that's what the Bible says in an ABC way. And I don't think there's anything confusing about it at all, do you? And a lot more to be known about it, but not with this study. And you'll know a lot about it. So far in this study, we have talked about when we begin this study of the return of Jesus Christ, we talked about the promise of his coming. Remember the promises in the Bible? And does the Bible promise that Christ is coming? Yes, it does. We talked about the first coming of Jesus Christ as far as him being born of the Virgin Mary. And we talked about his going to the cross in two different stages. One of them was private and one of them was public. And then we started the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in two stages. The Bible's very clear. The rapture of the saints, and that's us. And then also the revelation of Jesus Christ. One of them's going to heaven, and one of them's coming back. Okay? The next thing we're going to talk about on the next recording is the events that are going to happen between the rapture and the revelation. Between the rapture and the revelation. The 7 years, Daniel's 70th week is what it's called. The day, the revelation of Jesus Christ, between the rapture and the revelation, there's some things that go on up in heaven. And there are some things that go on down here on earth during that time period. And we're going to talk about the events of that. For instance, the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's two of the events that will be happening with us up in heaven. And then down here on earth, it's called a completely different scenario called Daniel's 70th week, the tribulation period. And them things are going to be very different down here on earth. You're not going to want to be on earth during that time. But we're not, because of what Jesus has done. Amen? Aren't you glad for what the Lord's done for us? You should be. So, there we go. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me give you these scriptures. Are you ready? We talked about the rapture of the saints. Now, here it is, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here's the scriptures. We didn't read too many, but we read what the Lord said. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 16. Revelation chapter 19, verse 14. Jude, verse 14 and 15. Zechariah, chapter 14, verse 1 through 4. And 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 7 through 10. And there we go. That's all of them. Okay. Well, the Lord bless you, and thank you for listening in and studying with us today. I enjoy it, don't you? I love learning God's Word. And we're going to continue, if the Lord will. And I know He wills, if He'll let us. So, study them scriptures, go back over them, and just saturate your mind with God's Word. And we'll talk about the marriage supper of the Lamb, the judgment seat of Christ, and Daniel's 70th week, if the Lord will, on the next recording. It's Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.